You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hello everyone, September 1st, 2015. This is the live stream, audiochat.fakeologist.com. Go there and go click on buy a microphone. You'll go to the Amazon store. I highly recommend you take the number one bestseller. And we'll make a little spiff off it as well. But please get a headset for all new audio chatters. And we're streaming live now at s3.fakeologist.com. And if you want to participate, just get TeamSpeak and come on board and listen. And that's how you do it. I got Tom Delpra on the line. Hi, Tom.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are things over in Jolly Old?
Yes, well, it seems fairly quiet here in Cambridge, England, on this, 1st of September.
Yeah, we're having a hot one here. It's 32. Maybe even 33, with some humidity here in on the great Masonic north coast of Lake Ontario, where you can see the CN Tower in all of its entirety without a curve from across the lake, Niagara on the lake.
So is it looming, or is it as we see it with a telescope beach to beach on the level? It seems remarkable.
You can see it with your naked eye. You don't even need a telescope. You can see pretty much the most of the tower.
Well, I think the official explanation, which is that it's looming, that you can see things from below the horizon because it's looming. And some guy, this Ziller, talks about some guy, he quotes a guy from 1929 or something, who said that if the world was six times bigger than it was, you could actually see round the entire Earth, but with looming. I mean, it seems bonkers to me, but I feel I need to understand the.
I don't even know what looming means. I thought looming is making a carpet.
Well, something's looming on the horizon. We understand that usage, don't we? Here he came looming like a big dark cloud.
Oh, I see. Well, I want to highly recommend Globebusters, Jaronism, as a round table with a couple panel members. And I just finished listening to one four-hour one, and I'm working on episode 5 of Globebusters. He posted on YouTube. Jaronism is a young guy who's done the laser experiment, I think. I don't know how successful it was, but very smart person. I like how he speaks, talks about the Bible. Globebusters 6. Talks about satellite. He talked about, well, he didn't talk about, but panel member Rob talked about Clues Forum. These guys were really, really, really good. Really enjoyed Globebusters 6. Highly recommend to listen.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah, Jaronism. He's a Mark Sargent protege almost. It feels a little bit. He said he learned of it through the clues, Mark Sargent's clues. But he was on the...
I don't know if he's a protege. He was just inspired by this. Like, I'm inspired by you. You're inspired by me. I don't think there's any connection. People are always so eager to create groupings and connections and then guilt by association. I hope you knowing me never hurts you. You know what I mean? Because you're your own person. You have your own thoughts. You're not me. I'm not you. You're not even a member. You haven't even paid your fakeologist dues, so I can't even really make you official, you know?
Yeah, I like it like that.
Yeah, let's just all stay loose, man. If I can help you in any way and inspire you, that's one thing, but yeah, for sure that we're not linked in any official MI6 capacity, right?
the beauty of it is, well, it's all about the truth, and it's free, and we're not tied to each other by contract or anything.
No, exactly. So let's just leave it that way. So Darren Isn't is just a smart young man, married. He's got his wife on the air. He's interesting, but hard to hear. And they have a great round table, and I'm going to go backwards in their catalog now. I finished Globebuster 6. Go ahead.
It seems a current trend. Well, maybe it's been done for before, but it does it with the round tables. PK had one as well, and then John was doing them in Australia. It's a good format. It's quite nice. People are getting together and talking. I quite like it.
Yeah, I wouldn't call theirs a round table. John is much more official about going around the table. They're more of a just a panel that gets together. And if I had a regular schedule, I'd have more of a panel too, but right now, I'm just happy with the randomness of the audio chat. Whoever's here, we chat. So it's not as organized. We're more disorganized in that way. But if I ever get a day off, then I'll go back to a regular weekly audio with a good microphone as well.
Yeah, great. Great. That'll be good. Yeah, it goes in phases, I suppose, doesn't it? The Geronism thing, I saw that laser video, or a laser video, where he couldn't get it to be seen right across the lake, but he ended up shining on a whiteboard on the beach on one side, and then the guy could see it from...
Well, he had some technical issues as well. He wasn't really well prepared to do it. His phone was cutting out. He was trying to stream from an iPhone, which isn't always a great idea. All kinds of issues like that happened for him.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going through a mangle just for that last sentence.
I forgot to carry my phone with me. I went and walked away from it.
I live in Cambridgeshire, England, which is where the Bedford Level experiment took place. So it would be great to do it again. Why can't you? That's such a simple, simple piece. And then you could put the controls in that Zilla talked about, that he says, the debunker says that Rowbottom didn't put the controls in, but a clever scientist came along and put something in halfway. And then he saw that rose. And so, well, I think you could just try it again. Why not? People keep talking about it still. So why don't I try and do that? That would be great, wouldn't it? Bedford Level. I wonder if they let you do it. I wonder if they perhaps not allow you
The one with the big balls? Can you recreate that? Do you have big balls, Tom?
I recreate that every time I get up and walk across the room, man. Every time I go upstairs. It's like an exciting episode of The World's Strongest Man. Sorry, but it's a joke. You probably don't know. It's a TV program we get where they lift these huge balls at the end. But yeah, how interesting. Cavendish, looking at him. And he discovered hydrogen. He called it inflammable air. But that was another claim to fame of his.
Claim to flame. I don't know about all these guys with their helium and their hydrogen. I'm quite... and the whole gravity story, I suppose. I'm guessing John Le Bon's big secret was that he was working on gravity as a hoax. And you worked on it a bit. And did you see the Morgyle did a YouTube on gravity?
No, I didn't. I mean, I was coming round to, you think, well, the Ball model needs gravity, doesn't it? And
that's what they say. And gravity is just another one of these magical forces that seems to cover every problem. I think that's what they're saying.
Well, you've got gravity, which is different from little g, which is different. It's just the same as free fall. And then you've got big G, which is the gravitational constant of big objects pulling things, the law and the formula for working out big objects, the rate that big objects pull each other to each other. So it's almost separate. So you've got to cover all that. You've got big G and little G in one. So that helps you fudge it all, doesn't it?
Well, there's a whole lot of fudging going on, is what I'm understanding, with gravity. And now we have to look into gravity. I don't know if my head has the capacity to understand it. I think gravity is one of the great explanations that you could just walk away from without a problem, not deal with it. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because you're trying to struggle to get your head around something that kind of doesn't exist. No wonder it feels complicated. It's like...
Yes, we all thought we were just too stupid, but actually the concept is just too stupid. It's like trying to explain something that's unexplainable because it just is fantasy.
But if you... Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, there is a side to it which makes some sort of sense, doesn't it? I think we all sort of we were comfortable enough with the ball model in our heads. At one time I lived with it, and I assumed, well, that's what must be the way it works. You have these huge bodies.
I wasn't comfortable with it. I just didn't even think about it. Who thinks about these things? I never thought about it. Did you?
Well, sort of. I just thought it was crazy. I just put it out of my mind because I couldn't comprehend it really. And I thought, well, that's fair enough. I can't comprehend a lot of things.
You thought the ball earth was crazy? I didn't even think about it. Who really thinks about it? I never thought about the ball earth.
A lot of people just accept it. But you said you remembered when you were a child hearing it at school and you, for the first time, and you thought, hold on, how come they're standing upside down in Australia? That doesn't make sense, or whatever, underneath me, opposite the side of the planet.
Well, I might have thought it, but I don't think I actually exclaimed it to anybody. I don't know.
Amazing. Amazing, isn't it? It's how much is up for question. Amazing. It's like Pinin was saying, it's like being children again. She's got quite a nice positive, upbeat spirit about it all.
Oh, does she? She doesn't come on the live chat. She's against the live chat. Too bad, because she has some interesting things to say. Not all of which I agree with.
No, I don't know. I just met her tonight for the first time. In voice. Yeah, she's been there.
I'm trying to do the schedule.fakeologist.com again, but if anyone wants to schedule a meeting, they can. That's schedule.fakeologist.com. I'm not sure it works all that great, but it worked for a while in terms of people getting together. Yeah, what did you think of John Levon? Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
I don't see a link for it. I still have seen a link for it, but perhaps you could drop that link to that actual specific page where you can just write something in there.
Oh, just type it into your browser, schedule.fakeologist.com. I just made it so you could type it in, need to remember and all that.
Thank you. I got it now. So John's audio yesterday. Well, I kind of hoped that you and Kay would broach that subject yesterday when you were chatting.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about. That probably did. I think I mentioned it, but then like everything else, we just get distracted and stop talking about it.
Yeah, I think that was good. It was great that John contributed in audio there. He said he might, didn't he? And no, good on him, because I'd missed his normal broadcast actually. So,
John is such a great speaker. Is that just me, or is he a great speaker?
He's excellent, I think. Yeah, he's got good energy. He's a young guy. He's got a confident, good energy and a clarity of thought, and he expresses himself clearly. And he's got a kind of, good energy, I think, for the moment. I think, as far as I'm concerned, yeah. I mean, I'm a fan. I like what he's doing. And, yeah,
the
gravity angle.
I really like the guy. Yeah.
I think he's honest and genuine. You know, I say that. I'm happy to say that right now.
Yeah, I have no issues. I don't know what Kay is talking about half the time with him.
Well, I'm not sure. Kay has not gone with the flat Earth. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? Because it perhaps shows us how strong the lie of flat Earth really is. It's the indoctrination is so strong with that one. And she's a teacher, isn't she? She's a primary school teacher, and she's in the classroom with globes and children, and she's teaching. She must have some respect for academia and education, really, you know. And that's almost the very essence of it, the very most basic form of it, isn't it? And to be clever. Also, to be stupid, it's been known that you're a flat earther as well. That's a powerful stigma that has. So we see a situation where, of course, we look up to Simon Schack and Hoy and Clues Forum very much here. And they haven't gone, well, they've been open-minded. Hoy says we've got to ask questions still. Simon hasn't come forward, and I can kind of understand it.
I think Simon is sending... making posts quite clear he's against it, I think. And he even mentions, I think he's implying that I've gone off the deep end in my observations. But, yeah, he doesn't like it at all, my feeling. Hoy may be a little less virulent about his opposition.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting, isn't it? Well, and Kay's not going for it. She and Blue Moon, and I think Argos as well. I don't think... I hope I'm not sort of putting things into people's mouths, but There's a few. There's a few people who we like and we know are cool who perhaps are not going there. And hey, perhaps I'm the fool here. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, hold on one second. Got to make a quick ringy dingy here. Give me a minute.
Okay, I'll just go on a monologue. So I picked up this book on Stonehenge, someone gave it to me to read, actually, and because I was talking about it, it's the questioning its veracity, its exact nature of Stonehenge. Anyway, after Jaronism's video the other day, and this is a book called by a guy called Gerald S. Hawkins, and it's from originally 1965 book, but it turns out he's an astronomer, and he's writing this. So here's this book I've got here in hardback, which sold a few copies, and it's trying to decode Stonehenge decoded, and he's trying to say that it's some kind of aligning with the eclipses, and he's looking at it from an astrological point of view. And in the intro to the book, it said this book is dedicated to Lord Snow in pursuit of the two cultures, and I thought this intrigued me. I thought, what's this all about then? And I found this book. It said C.P. Snow is a British scientist and novelist, and he wrote this book called The Two Cultures, and his thesis was that the intellectual life of the whole of Western society was split into two titular cultures, namely the sciences and the humanities, and that this was a major hindrance to solving the world's problems.
Okay.
Sorry, yeah. Excuse me, you there are you now? Yeah, it's interesting.
Did somebody join in?
He's unreal.
Is that unreal?
Here he is. I haven't seen him for days.
Yeah, hello, guys.
Bonsoir.
Hi, Unreal.
How are you doing?
Pas mal. Et toi?
I'm back from vacation, and I went to Italy.
Oh, did you? Did you see Simon?
No, I wasn't in that part of Italy, but I got far enough down in Italy to discover that Pompeii is probably fake, too.
Well, yeah, all those pictures, yeah. Well, I don't have any doubt. Where the frozen, the people frozen in time, yeah, that's all BS. Yeah, I don't doubt that.
A lot of movies coming out, and it was discovered after 1,500 years underneath the ashes.
Well, it's almost like dinosaur flesh being found in the bones. How crazy is that concept?
Yeah, and it appears that NASA is probably very helpful to archaeologists too, because they are using a lot of their satellites to find the new, buried treasures.
Oh, I didn't even do anything about that story. I heard about that. It was, of course, a Nazi gold train. Is that right? They're probably all gold from all the teeth.
Oh, they're finding loads of stuff in Egypt. This is a little bit of the same stories from Egypt, too. They find the stuff buried under the sand after thousands of years.
Oh, yeah, they're always digging something else up. If you can't, you know, you might as well make it up with something that's made up. Say a satellite's found as something ancient and dig it up. Just make it up and make it up.
Yeah, I think once you dig something up of the ground, there's no more questions asked, you know, because it was hidden all this time, and here it is.
It's certainly open to abuse.
Yes, yes. Unreal, I was just telling Daryl of pretty good audio. You would be in Globebusters.
Excuse me?
No problem.
You're not coming through very well, Ab.
Right.
Daryl, it's interesting what you are looking at with Stonehenge.
How's that? Does that work? 2212?
Yep. It works.
Yeah, Jaronism. Did he do something on Stonehenge? I didn't watch it because I'm not interested in Stonehenge, but you might be correct on whatever you just said.
Yeah, I think Jaronism is putting out some videos that does question history a little bit in the way others have done too. So the anything that's older than, I guess, 400 or 500 years is pretty questionable in the sense that all the books and all the traces we have, they are rewritten. And when we see what they discover, it always has been buried.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he does a pretty good job on his audios. He doesn't just talk flat earth. He talked about satellites. He talked about clues for them. There's a guy named Rob on his panel. There's also a guy named TJ who talks about the Bible and makes some really good common sense arguments for what the Bible is and what it's about. I enjoyed all the conversation. You should really listen to Globuster 6 on YouTube on his channel. I highly recommend it right now, and I'm going backwards now in all his audio.
Yeah, I'm listening to that too, actually. And it's pretty good. It's pretty laid-back conversation, though.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
I think.
Jeronism. Sorry. I'm being, sorry.
Is that your Jeronism?
Loud. No, I was trying to do his
Jeronism
voice.
Impression?
Yes. I was trying to do his intro to his films. Yeah. What's up? What's happening, guys?
Is that what he said?
Something like that.
I don't even remember
that
part.
Yeah, I like his stuff. I enjoy listening to him. Does he not leap to a divine creator, a creator that the earth has been...
I don't know. He's an ex-Catholic, and he hates every part of it, I think, and his wife is a Christian, and she doesn't like that either, so, as far as I know, they've left the fold, themselves, as it were.
Yeah, okay, yeah, it's interesting, I had to listen to that one, episode 6, Globusters. I mean, all these globes on these alternative news sites, like Prison, do you see them, you know, like Global Research and Prison Planet, and they keep popping up everywhere. It's just all over the place. I suppose it'd be an obvious emblem to have, but it really helps bang that message home, doesn't it? It's everywhere.
Oh yes, for sure.
The ball. I mean, people say it's going to go mainstream. People talking about that, the shape of the Earth. But I think the lie is strong enough, don't you? Right now, I think there's enough derision, but there'd be a slight divide.
All Jaronism wants, and all sort of what I want, is I want to see questioning. That's all. I don't, I'm not convinced the earth is flat any more than I'm convinced it's round, actually.
Yeah, I
want to see questioning in a big way. I want to see big time questioning.
But it's kind of impossible that the earth is a perfect sphere. It's from the fake photo images, it's like clear, it's like it's just Photoshop's images. It can't be a perfect sphere, and they even admit it themselves. It must be pear shaped or whatever shape, but it's not a perfect sphere.
NASA has three shapes on the go, don't you know?
Yeah, show us a real picture. That's a real question, isn't it? Forget what shape it is, just show us a real picture. We know that's a lie from that Hasselblad camera in 72. You know? It's ridiculous.
Show us some streaming. Let's see some streaming. Show us some, you know how they point the camera down when it's stuck to the rocket? Show us the picture up and down. Let's see it all, man.
You know, when they go up to, when they fly the space shuttle, they used to fly the space shuttle up to the space station.
Yeah.
You know, why can't they have cameras framing out the window, seeing it arriving and everything, you know? You could film
the
whole thing.
Let's see five camera angles, yeah.
Yeah, you could film it from inside. It'd be fantastic. No, what do you
Let's
get?
See
some
all five
set
views.
Pieces in this weird box, just bouncing around like lunatics, singing Space Oddity badly or something, you know? Chris, Space was.
Yeah.
Ludicrous.
I think the biggest ongoing psyop's got to be NASA. That's the best one to work on. Forget 9/11 in a lot of ways. Let's just get this NASA busted. Because they're the ones that are coming up with new stuff every day.
Yeah, forget the saying flat earth, flat earth, flat earth. Don't. No, we're not saying that. We're saying they're not telling us the truth. What the hell is going on, really, aren't we? That's what we're saying. That's what we're asking. This isn't real. What's real?
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
It seems like NASA is more like proofing, you know, what they are contriving from elsewhere, because, like, if NASA puts a stamp on something, it must be real, because they are the guys in space, right? So they are used in many different areas to, like, validate technology and stuff, you know, like 3D printing, and now I see in archaeology. They are just used as a label. So I'm not sure how much at NASA itself is behind everything. I just feel like they are a label that is put on most things to make it seem more real.
I agree. How many people do you think work for NASA? I'm going to say it's only a couple hundred. I think most of it is just intelligence agencies. I don't think they're doing anything much.
No, most of them are graphic designers.
Yeah. But
I
really,
one of the managers of my first group had worked for NASA. I'll have to ask him one day. How many people were there when he worked?
Yeah. Where was he? What city?
I don't even know. I can't even remember. I wasn't particularly interested then. As I used to say to him, it's not rocket science, mate. But it actually was. But no, I'll have to ask him. Yeah, he did work for them. But of course, he was a complete dupe. You know, he would never have known. You know, we talked about moon landings back then, and he was, you know, didn't go for it. But
doesn't that give us a clue to the fact that people working for NASA are not the people making this stuff up? They are just there to validate and put their stamp on it.
Absolutely, I'm sure they're just
compartmentalizing all these people to have the impression something's happening, but the real storyline is coming from elsewhere. So and now everybody's focusing on NASA. And now we're like making them look evil and stuff, but they are just like the brand.
Yeah, they're the old Operation Paperclip. Yeah, they're going to be sold out.
Brand.
They're going to be sold out when we go into the next age. You know what I mean? They'll be the ones that perhaps.
Just when they blame things on the police and the FBI, I don't think the FBI or the local police are in on it at all, other than the chief who has to obviously appoint a spokesperson to tell the lie, but the rest of the police don't have a clue what's going on. It's probably just happening all around them.
Yeah, you know it. And everyone, a lot of real people, that's why it works well, I think, because there's most people are genuine people just trying to get by, do the right thing. And just by doing that, they get their motivations are to do the things that fall into the hands of those that seek to control them.
Yeah, but
I like
it's like
that.
We are all attacking NASA, but I really think they're just a brand. So it's like we shouldn't think
Space
that
brand.
NASA is behind everything. They are not. They're just branding it by showing some fancy technology like infrared satellite imaging from space and stuff, you know, and photos from space. And, you know, they're just branding what other groups are producing, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think there's that many people working for NASA, and the money. I don't buy into the big budgets. I don't buy into that at all. I think that's I just don't.
That guy. It was an interesting point made on one of the Flat Earth videos that they say on their website that their building's like six stories high or something, but in actual reality, it's much smaller. So he just said, I don't know why they said it's that big, but the lie of it is like that anyway, even if that isn't a fact. It says on their website their building's much bigger than it actually really is. It's the dimensions of it, strangely, to being larger.
It's quite fitting with the role they play, probably. They are the brand, you know, so they are, pumping up the validity of the brand, making it seem bigger, more influential, more all-knowing. And NASA is touching so many areas that, it's clearly not only a space agency. It's like, it's all encompassing a structure that just validates anything. You know, if you say NASA, for a regular person, he thinks it's real. It's a high technology that he doesn't understand.
Oh, yes.
What did you find out about the Stonehenge? I really like that that footage that the Jeronism came out with, when you can clearly see it's just plaster put on steel structures.
Well, that seems almost unbelievable, doesn't it? I thought, is that real? You know, and then I only had a mild inquiry, really, on looking at Stonehenge a little bit. Haven't really spent too much time on it, but I found that quote. It's on the Wikipedia for Stonehenge, right? That the Royal College of Arts, students from the Royal College of Arts, found some of the stones contained a strange acoustic qualities. When they tapped them, they heard this loud clanging sound, this hollow clanging sound. Which sounds exactly like they look like in that Jeronism film with the exposed metal, as if they're all just coated boxes, you know, or some of them are coated boxes.
Yeah, I think they openly nearly admitted too that it's recreated.
Well, I don't think it all is. At all, well, I don't.
That's
I'm not sure how much they
believe,
openly admit it
Tom,
always.
It's like they always leave enough doubt so they can creep out of the hole they want to dig you into. But
of course, yeah. Perhaps you only need to start with one stone. If it was stone there, well, it was there. It was there. We just embellished it, you know. But
if
this idea
of
Psiopticon.
From 9/11 is like if one of the pictures is fake, what are the other pictures? So if most of the stones are fake, what's real?
I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? How I'm making excuses for it, really. But it's clearly very sketchy. And it's like we see with so many other things, that it's just been, there's a lot of tampering in there and it's kind of been nurtured. And then its usage has been, it's just been hyped up but it's important. It's supposed to be maybe 3000 BC, isn't it? It gives a nation, a country, a focus. Yeah, it's a use. You can see why it would be promoted, you know.
Yeah. It certainly gives some things to think about when it comes to all the major and big, promoter sites out there. If you look at them, they're mostly recreated somehow and reconstructed, and it's always something going on those sites. Like they find new stuff, they dig deeper, they find more. It's very convenient.
Yeah, sure. And as we see in Egypt, which is a classic world, a case for the world, isn't it? That's the world monument, isn't it? One of the world monuments that's kept there. It defines how we see ourselves, doesn't it? These old things, they're the oldest, we're told they're the oldest things. And so we reflect.
But don't you think it's funny how they always find some new hidden chambers in the pyramids too?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, keep it going.
So it's an operation that just keeps on going. They are just creating more material all the time. Seems like a method.
Well, how much of it is real? I mean, who's going to expose, say, Tutankhamun as a complete hoax? I mean, how much of those things are actually real? I mean, you've got to think they are, but, you know? I mean, what are we talking about here? How far does this go?
Yeah, I think... We discussed the fact that the French researcher Davidovits has convincingly found that the stones in the pyramids, they are polymers and they were poured into place.
Yeah.
So the question is,
how did they do it for years? We couldn't work it out. For years, we couldn't work it out. Finally, you get the answer. They had cement, mate.
And the sad thing is that the only thing that separates like researchers like Davidovits from a more alternative research is to ask the question, when was it poured?
Yeah.
Like the Sphinx, too, it was discovered from under the sand 300 years ago, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
So Egypt is a very convenient place to find new stuff because everything is hidden under the sand and just poop, it appears when they need it. With the NASA satellite imagery.
My daughter, who is now 11, in her formative years with her sponge-like brain and what she's learning at school, that's quite informative, I think. And she's been taught the Holocaust, the Egyptians, you know, Hitler.
Dinosaurs.
Correct.
Hitler was a dinosaur.
Yeah, Hitler was a dinosaur and a ball earth.
And he had big balls to measure the weight of the earth.
Cavendish's balls. Yeah, I'd better write a song like called that, I think. That's a quite good one.
So.
I'd like to write a song about the travesty of science. You know, you could call it Cavendish's Balls, couldn't you?
Yeah. One of the guys on Globemaster 6 that I was referring to earlier, he's saying something to the effect that we should promote the idea that the sun is really only 33 miles away and it's 3,300 miles across, get all the Masons on board, whether they know it or not.
That's funky. I like that. And you know what? I think this number is found in nature to an extent, isn't it? Because it's, I don't know. Of course, it would any numbers found in nature, but it does seem to crop up.
Well, they love it.
Yeah,
he's also
wonder.
Saying that the Earth, or the sun might move in a hexagonal pattern, which may be caused by electromagnetism. Because he's also saying how Newton didn't know anything about electromagnetism when he came up with his gravity idea theory, which is not a fact. These are you just throwing stuff out. This guy's just throwing information out, ideas out. It's all, I don't know, something to talk about.
Yeah.
Because we do know that if you charge, if you put a charge something beside water, it does change direction. Water's molecules that are held together by some kind of magnetism gets altered by another electro charge beside it. That's an easy experiment to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm clueless about gravity in water, in liquids as well. I mean, the debunkers would say that proves gravity, that there needs to be some other sort of force and the original gravity of liquids. I'd have to look at that. But, yeah, I mean, there's so many things I don't understand about science. I did like science to an extent, but more biological. But
maybe we didn't like science because it didn't make any sense. Because it's nonsense, a lot of it. Maybe it went against our senses.
When I was studying something very basic early on, the simple stuff, I had one really good teacher. He was a doctor, but he was good. He did explain some basic stuff, photosynthesis, for example, and he made it very interesting. Yeah. And flowers. There's lots of really fantastic, good science, isn't there, that we love and that we've learned about. And I got like top in the year in my school for biology one time. But then we started learning about evolution, and DNA and evolution. And as soon as we got to that, I just, it started going over me like
science
fiction. And I didn't feel intelligent. I thought, I'm stupid, aren't I? But I had been talking the whole year, you know, previously. There you go. So that was a
quirky
experience.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, that's because you moved into science fiction, and maybe that's why your brain was rejecting it, because you couldn't see or sense any of the things they were saying. It's all theory, like musical theory, right? Similar. A lot of musicians don't like musical theory.
Yeah. It's good to be able to write it down. I mean, I'm a musician who doesn't know musical theory, but I still like it. Do you know what I mean? I identify with it. I don't use it, though. You don't need it to make the best music, necessarily, you know.
Yeah. Unreal, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you have any comments on the electromagnetic nature of the universe? Do you think there's anything to it?
Well, they do support the size of the universe, though. So they also explain how the planet Mars is scarred and... I really doubt their truthfulness, in the sense that they seem very well funded too. They have conferences, they have many talking heads. I'm not sure we really know what electricity is. So it's like when we don't know what electricity in its simplest form is, how can we start to make conclusions about the universe working with this force we don't know?
Okay.
I think SMJ said that the electromagnetic force came from this same guy, the same place of a lot of false science, pseudoscience. Maybe it was from the Cavendish in Cambridge. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so. But I think he was just making reference to the electron, how it's a globe as well, a globular entity, the electron. The electron is the explanation for electricity. See, that's the graphical... theoretical representation of what electricity is, the electron. And is it not the electron theory as well as a theory?
Well, most science is a theory, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, it's stripping it right down to the atoms, isn't it? I mean, I wasn't so much into the physics. I've got interesting stuff to go and look at and try and learn about, because it's all up for grabs, I think.
But if you learn about it, you're just going to learn what they want you to know, and you're not actually going to really understand it any other way than they want to. They've been working on this for a very long time, so it's like something that the Ball Earth Skeptics Roundtable is putting the finger on, is the fact that the most important basis of many of these theories, they are very old and very doubtful. That's the same recipe they always use. They build on something old and that you can't question.
Do you think this is the first period in history that finally we have the tools to question these as a group?
I don't know. I think we haven't heard from these people that were questioning things before, because they would probably not be in the newspaper. So I guess this is the time where any person can have their opinion heard. So in that sense, I think we are in a new era in that sense. But they are pretty good at, you know, steering the discussion towards areas where we will be at a loss when it comes to, you know, promoting their own experts, you know, tearing down the different sections by infiltrating. And just like this Globe Earth Skeptics, I mean, it's in a name. It doesn't say we are flat earth believers, you know, so why everybody's so hung up in the shape of things when they are actually more questioning the established model of the globe, that, you know, it should go without saying that after 600 years of science, we should at least know if we are spinning or not, you know?
Yeah,
I think the same thing is that we should, with what we know about the fallacy of NASA, then we have to question. Any sane person must be questioning what is the shape of everything at this point. Yeah.
It's not about the shape. Yeah. It's about the foundations. That's
skeptical. What I mean is skeptical of everything, you know, of everything science is telling us.
Yeah, and you mentioned infiltrating groups. I just noticed that none of my YouTube comments are showing up anymore because YouTube, and they said they're going to do this, unhook themselves from Google Plus, and now I don't know where my comments are going on some of these YouTube forums. So if anyone's listening to this and can explain where the YouTube comments are going, let me know.
I think they are going nowhere, Ab.
See, that's why I don't like third-party services, because you don't own your comments. They just disappear, or they can disappear easily.
Yeah. Giving them away.
Well, they are continuing us.
You're giving away all your effort, yeah.
Yeah, we are being put on the canteen. And so that's what's happening also with the questioning of science. It's like they get us into a corner where they ridicule us for being flat earthers or whatever. And we must be very careful not to go that same route ourselves, because when we have like intelligent discussion with which has been, you know, done with the round earth round table, should applaud it, not tear it down. And when people just want to corner them as flat earthers, I mean, it's a shame. And it's actually quite dishonest, actually, because the proof for the global model, they are not there, and the images we are served, they are fake. So why shouldn't we be very critical, and why should we say that these people are disinfo?
Yeah, well, we're convinced they're fake. I can't say absolutely they're fake, but I'm convinced they're fake, and so are a lot of people. There's a consensus right there. Appeal to consensus, everybody. It's not a fallacy for us, though.
It's just like we learned with 9/11. Everything we were served were just, you know, souped up images. So why should the same people come up with anything else on any subject? I mean, their role is obviously to obfuscate anything.
Yes, the quite contrary ones.
They want to put Dust Lady in the 9/11 memorial, I heard. They want to add her.
Oh.
I think they should sell Dust Lady dolls.
Or maybe they should just sell the dust. They probably already do that, though. But
yeah, just
I got more
it.
Than enough dust home. Yeah, this is asbestos.
I mean, you know, the bits of the Berlin Wall, bits of dust from the World Trade Center, you know.
Moon rocks, don't forget them.
Oh, yeah. Stonehenge.
Seems to be quite on all these Globe Earth, a lot of these Globe Earth audios, I'm really hearing consensus that the moon is self-illuminated. A lot of talk about that. It's interesting.
I'll tell you what it looks like. I've got these solar bowls in my garden. They're little bowls. They're nice, actually. They've got a coloured pattern on the outside of them. But I leave them out in the day, and then at night, they just glow. It looks like that now to me. I see them out in my garden. I think, oh, is it fluorescent? And it's got this kind of glow.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I don't have those, though. Do they give much light at night? Can you walk by them and see the path and all that?
Yeah, they do. Well, they show you good light, a clear light. So they'd be a good guide as a marker. They're nice.
Are they
like
LED?
Them, yeah. We talk about a solar, but that's a nice use of it, I think.
Yeah. Well, they must have small batteries in them. In other words, these things would probably burn out after a few years, and you'd have to get a new one, right?
Yeah, sure. It wasn't very expensive at all. It was just in a supermarket, you know.
So they would have cheap batteries to store the power.
Yeah, sure. I liked that Lake Nyos is leaking. Did you ever read the thread that we got into on Lake Nyos, which was...
No, where's that?
It's in, my memory. I was going to say Cameroon, but there was this huge explosion in this lake in about 1979. I think I probably got the dates wrong. I'm going to have to look. I'd probably better have the thread up in front of me before talking about it. But anyway, there was this huge explosion with CO2. CO2 was exploded. And loads of people died. I mean, a huge amount of people apparently died in the thousands, and all these cattle died. This is what they said. And I said, we went through this thread and we decided it was probably nonsense. It was made up, you know, this huge thing, stunt. And it was like a pre-global warming CO2 scare. It's putting in a big thing in people's minds that CO2 is dangerous. And I don't know quite how I got around to this. Oh, yeah, and then finally they've got...
I never heard that, but I didn't read the thread. But
well, it's one that Jim... I think Jim, was it Jimbo? Jimbo started. But he...
How does CO2 explode?
This great cloud of CO2 escaped, and now they've just got a vent on the lake, you know, to stop it happening again, you know, and it's just sitting there ominously, and this bubble comes up, the CO2 comes bubbling up, and you know, it's powered by solar power, you know, but they're pumping.
What is
CO2
it, a lake
into,
part?
They're pumping CO2 into the atmosphere out of the lake, sort of thing, with powered by solar. It just made me smile. excuse me, sorry.
That sounds ridiculous.
Well, it's just a little pump, yeah. I think obviously CO2 can escape from lakes and can build up under there, but they said this whole cloud escaped and killed a load of people. I mean, the thread's worth checking out. It was thousands of people who were killed, I think. It's fakeologist.com forums, and it's other PSYOPs, Lake Nyos disaster, NYOS. But, yeah, it was... big one, you know. They could get away with it. You know, you could get away with it in Africa then, you know.
Well, you can get away with it anywhere. But yeah, Africa would be a good place. I'm sure there's not a lot of fakeologists in Cameroon.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a French colony? An ex-colony?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
They speak French.
Yeah.
Yes, the French Empire. So a bit of North Africa.
Yeah.
Unreal. Did you see the videos by the Postal Service about the face inserting, digital face insertion? He was using Breivik as a possible example.
No, I did not see that, but I do remember that on Clues Forum they discovered digital imagery in the court hearings.
Yeah. Well, the Postal Service, I think, is Norwegian as well, maybe. I'm not sure. That's the guy's name on YouTube.
Yeah, I really think that they are going to base a lot of new material on digital imagery. So just like when you see movie posters, it's mostly digital imagery right now. So they're like making people used to seeing CGI images as being real. So I think you're very close to the day where they can, simulate everything on a computer and just shove it down their news channels.
Yeah, trying to blend reality with fiction. And it seems the natural place to go, doesn't it? That's what they'd like to do, because you can just completely do it all on computer.
But what they strive to do is to have us believe it, right? So what they are playing on is what we will believe most. And that's why bad imagery makes a better impression than hyper-realistic imagery. So that's why they often use that kind of imagery to convince us. And when they put like live news in the corner, it's like we are convinced. So they are using a lot of tricks, and to have those tricks work, they need to you know that they need to service their propaganda for a long time, so they know it sticks. So I think they are in the phase now when they're trying to make digital imagery stick in our brain, so we like confuse it to be real.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I think I what you were saying about the conditioning us to get used to this kind of imagery leading up to 9/11, I noticed a real trend in movies and in Hollywood movies that I didn't like. I thought the lighting was bad, the cinematography was dark and dim and a bit vague. I didn't like it.
But just think JFK. I mean,
people just accepted it. You know, and I was going around going, this is shit, the way cinema's going, you know. And then 9/11 with those murky images, you know.
Just think JFK with how Oswald was shot and everything. Everything from that film is just like what they produce in the movies in the years before, you know, that you're falling over, you know, forward when you get shot somewhere. And, you know, everything is, you know, well planned, you know, they're planting the images. Yeah, they're planting the images long time ahead.
Yeah, conditioning. Yeah.
Classic example, 2001, with the space oddity. You know, they hype it up to be this massive, great, epic thing, and then the next year it's the moon landings.
Yeah, I like Jay Widener's theory on that, how they needed that film to have us believe that people, when they were walking on the moon, they were actually walking in slow motion, whereas, you know, it would be the opposite. If you had no gravity, it would be moving really quick because, you know, the force applied and the reaction would be much quicker. But with that film, everybody thought moving in space would be slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, slow, no gravity. Oh my God, my legs are going so slow. But when you see them in the Vomit Comet, they're flying about like loonies, aren't they?
Just look at the International Space Station when they push when they are weightless in the plane when they dive down to produce these images. You can just see how quick they can actually move when when they push against something, you know.
You can. They seem to be able to fly about, can't they? So, well, the spaceman maybe had heavy boots. I don't know, but they should have been able to like zoom about, like they do in the International Space Station, like fly. I'm flying. Do you know what I mean?
Shouldn't they have been able to do that
on the moon?
Yeah, but they knew they were going to use a lot of imagery from under the water, and under the water you are, you know, obliged to move more slowly than you would in any type of. You know, atmosphere. So that's why they probably needed to condition us with some very slow space imagery and sounds and everything. So when you look at the Kubrick films, sound and image and motion, everything is quite slow. So you can like soup it up when they serve it to you on the news.
Yeah, there's probably supposed to be more gravity on the moon than there is in the International Space Station. I don't know, but yeah, no, you're talking a lot of sense. I think you make a lot of sense.
The principle is the same. It's like if you are in an atmosphere that has 1/6 of the atmosphere on Earth, when you make a movement, it will be much quicker because the force is still there and the resistance of the air is not there. So it would definitely be quick. But they had it be slow.
From what they tell us about gravity, it's nonsense. It doesn't make sense. Yes, quite clearly. We understand this.
Well, gravity is just like a term that they make us swallow a lot of things from. You know, it's just like space. You know, it's this huge place where anything is possible, and they admit to knowing only like 4% of what it's consisting of. So 96% is unknown dark matter. You know.
Yeah. Well, gravity and relativity are two. Peas in the same pod, they're both nonsense concepts that complement each other.
Well, they are really important to understand the reality we are taught. So it's like they are it's very conflicting information to our brain somehow. It's like everything depends on it, and yet it's not certain.
Yeah, there is the duality, the conflict that's in all the psychological
operations, these psychological conflicts that create cognitive dissonance that make us avoid them at all costs in our brain.
Exactly.
The people want to be accepted and want to be clever.
Well, it's the fate of our existence is that like we are going away, so it's like very painful to, in addition to that, add the insult that we really don't know at all what we are doing. So everybody needs to have that crystal clear, so they make meaning out of their life. So it's a very easy sell, actually, because everybody is depending on meaning, and they give it to us.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they give us our meaning.
Without our social construct, you know, we are left with no answers, and that is a very uncomfortable place to live in.
I don't even know why we quote gravity on the moon. Why do we know that number so well? Because there's no proof there's even a vacuum in space, is there, if we haven't been there?
Well, you are right. It's like once we start to philosophize about space, it's like it's based on nothing. So it's probably better to leave it alone and look at things that are closer to us, because it's impossible to make an intelligent guess about something that has been contrived from the start. You know, it's we will have to base our thoughts on something that we have learned, or something that we have had scientists give us, and then we are at a loss.
Yeah, because gravity and mass of the moon, that's all science fiction anyway. So all the numbers are just called numerology anyway. 666 is everywhere. Anytime you see 67 in NASA numbers, all it is 666 recurring, rounded up. So they're just putting in the 666 wherever they can.
Well, the gravitational constant, or G, big G, another big G, you know, we've seen that with square and compasses, but he's a 6.674 as just a little example of what you were talking about.
Well, it's
not rounded up, but it's 6.67. I mean, it's two sixes.
Yeah, well, no, I'm thinking maybe the four throws me off a bit, but maybe they just threw that in anyway just to mix it up a bit. But I think it's all 666. They're just playing with people.
Look, you look at the angle of the axial tilt of the Earth, and it's 23.4 degrees, leaving 66.6 to the horizontal. That is just that's a really strong case of like, no, you're not just dreaming about the numbers there, son. They're there. Surely, I think that really was probably telling, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. That just means that the whole tilt thing is just another bogus part of the whole story.
Wowza.
And it just puts us all back at square one, trying to figure out what we're on. We know nothing now. We're back to knowing nothing.
Faithless. We've got no beliefs. We must have some beliefs. Yes, we have. As you say, you've got what's around you. And as you said, you know, what you can touch, what you can feel. Yeah, it's very real. And it's all good fun, isn't it, really? I think Pin In said it's a bit like being children again, and she's giggling. And I said, you know, you have to laugh, really. Yeah, the wonderment of it. Let's go with that, maybe. You know, yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, everything is new again.
Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, so stimulating. But at the same time, you know, we see that it's for control of us, but at the same time, you know, if civilization hadn't existed, we wouldn't be in these homes with these computers to have, and with, you know, with the libraries of books to research things. You know, do you know what I mean? We can only find out about this and get to this because it's happened. So that had to happen. I don't know. It possibly had to happen this way. It has, hasn't it? Do you know what I mean? Human nature has taken it to here, it seems.
Yeah. There's a lot of real stuff that works really well. We appreciate it. It scientifically may have been based on science, cell phones and airplanes, aerodynamics. That's all real stuff. I think a lot of us agree to that.
Yeah, sure. Not everything's fake. I think that's perhaps an accusation that's sometimes aimed at fakeologists. It's in the name a bit, isn't it? That's how a friend of mine said, you know, who I like a bit, he knows a bit, but he said, oh, they just think everything's fake. Not at all.
I think that's where, Ab, you have a real good point. It's like, that's just a proof of a poor vocabulary. because every time we say something is fake, we could actually say a lot of other stuff too, and it wouldn't seem so simplistic. But that's something that scientists have going for them. They have a really good vocabulary, and they are, inventing their own words and stuff, and all the concepts they come up with. Once we start to discuss those concepts, we are still discussing their construct of things, you know? We are not...
I know what you mean. You got to use their own words.
So it does become a bit difficult, too, in the sense that there are so many areas in which they have been operating without us knowing. So we are just discovering more and more how... You know, vast. They have planted their seeds. You know, they are. Nothing has been left untouched. One would say.
It's a grand.
Well, we were all busy working the farms. They were busy setting up all these constructs. Now that we're off the farm, we have more free time. Now we're finding out all their little house of cards they built all over the place.
Yeah, the sad fact is, like, to have us come into the farms, they already had started their constructions, because we actually were leading quite good lives being hunter-gatherers, from what I can tell from the different aspects they are telling us now. The fact that a hunter-gatherer was, like, working much less hours and was mostly found in quite good health. So from that state into a state of slavery is quite a good trick in itself. So they must have constructed the towns first and then lured the people in there.
Well, in China, they construct the towns first, and then they don't get the people in, and they get these big empty cities.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, in England, you've got – it's cold, isn't it? It gets cold, and, there's benefits of things and being in groups, and then there was upheaval, there was unrest and tribal violence and things. There was I don't know. It's interesting. What was history looking back? I don't know.
You guys are in England and France. Is the migrant or refugee issue big on your front pages there?
Yeah, it's very big in England at the moment. It's just it's constantly on the news and in the newspapers.
Okay. I wonder what's going on there.
Mind games. It's sort of shifting populations. We're getting some population from Eastern Europe coming over to England. There's quite a lot of sort of economic migration of people with the relaxing of the borders, really. This one world, you know, you could say it's a one world thing. It's blending of the EU thing. And, you know, it's just being controlled, really, in a way, you know, with the way it's being played.
If you think about it, if they are planting the fake history to us all the time, what they would need is for us to be without a culture and without a heritage. And that's actually what they are working on. They are working on taking away the memories we have as nations and people. And they actually constructed that from the start. So they are just stacking the cards real good. And they've always been at it in that sense. So it's just another strategy to have us derooted from our traditions and culture, actually, to be able to plant new culture and new history and new schemes.
Yes, you don't want to be in cohesive groups for too long, do we?
Exactly.
You want to then mix it up a bit. I think you still have the national identity and the flag, you know. That's important in itself. You want to retain that identity. But at the same time, you don't want groups of people getting around talking about how pissed off they are with the system or whatever. You want to just keep it all there. You don't want a real sense of strong community necessarily, like the old days. You're just in your boxes with your computers and your televisions, and you go to work and you come home. A bit.
Yeah. Interesting.
Just look at the map and see how fake those borders really are. I mean, they're like, there are nations are also an invention, and they use language to create nations, and then they create this kind of cohesiveness out of thin air, really.
Well, and religions, gathering of people of same faith are real, and then they might put a border around those people, that kind of thing.
I mean, it's grouping. Bullshit. Yeah, it's bullshit, really, isn't it? I mean, my name's Dalpra, but it's Italian, and we're all mixtures of things, aren't we? And it's all happened for years, as Unreal said. It's been going on for ages as people move all around. And perhaps they're just sort of controlling that and just sort of the latest phase as we're going through here, you know, on that issue, the immigration thing. They're doing it less violently. They don't have to have a war and do it necessarily, you know, the Second World War, but they could. You can do it a bit more gently, 21st century style.
Yeah, it's like for them, it's a construct, and the primal material is us, and they are making us more malleable with taking away any knowledge of the past that we have and planting whatever they want us to believe it was.
Oh yeah, right. I see how that was sewn up.
So that's why it's not very surprising to start imagining that most of the important finds in archaeology and stuff, when we see that every piece is recreated, are probably more a tactic in shaping you know the human spirit in some ways that they would like it, and when you see what they find, it's like. Often stories that they want to propagate, you know, like as I just stumbled upon Pompeii here, it's obvious that you know people that was burning alive and found in horrible positions, babies that was like taking out of their cribs and found, you know, like burnt on the floor. We see it again in like the more recent stories too. So they're like they're using the same scripts somehow and they just tweak them a bit.
Wow, yeah, Pompeii was a psyop, you reckon? to make volcanoes seem more dangerous.
Yeah, I reckon it is a complete psyop in the sense that it was buried under ashes for thousands of years. Then they find them, and whatever you see now is just plaster models.
Yeah, someone having a shit, someone in the middle of having sex. You had it all, didn't you? That was was that the sense of humor of the psyoperatives back then?
Yeah, and with a little bit of help from Hollywood, the images are getting pretty, you know, graphic.
Pompeii was a psyop. Wow. I heard it here first, Unreal. We're not saying for sure, but
it has all the marks of an operation in archaeology, which often consists of the same ingredients. And once they dig something up, who knows how long it's been there and who's been there before? You know, it's
At the Georgia Guidestones. Look at those fuckers. I mean, they've stuck them up. They'll be there for years, won't they? People will say, what the fuck was this? And they'll read it, and it'll mean something. Like, what the hell is it? You know, monument.
Well, what part of Pompeii was real? What part was unreal, Unreal?
Well, I just could say that all those positions they found people in, like, so varied, and, you know, you can see every kind of human expression there. And the focus on babies you know, scary faces. I think everything that you will see in the actual, you know, the museum parts and everything, that's all the story that they want to tell people.
Did blow up?
Yeah, but I don't think people stay there long enough to be burnt up alive, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah, and all those poses, yeah, that seems...
Have you seen how slow rock is moving when it's liquid? It's you're getting before it comes close to you, and you can see the signs of an eruption.
I've seen lava
days
flows.
Before,
you got lots
so
of time
like,
to move. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, it's the same script, isn't it? It makes complete sense to me. Absolutely, could see how that could have been faked. You know how powerful that would be, and that's one that's taught in schools. That's another one that your children will learn. You know, still all these years later.
It's like what's so incredible about Stonehenge is like there's no stories about the people that built it. You know, it's just like turned up out of nowhere. You know, nobody knows who built them.
Like a crop circle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I said those Georgia Guidestones. What are they called? The Georgia Guidestones? They just turned up one day, didn't they? A bit different.
I don't know. I never
the same principle
them.
Almost. You know. You can just chuck them there, and then, you know, years and years in advance, people will read it, and it will make sense. They'll have some dream story about it. Do you know what I mean? That might have been planning for the future.
Yeah.
Wasn't the Georgia Guidestones, financed and put into place by known entities that were Freemasons?
I don't know about them, actually.
I personally don't know much about them. Yeah, I don't know much about them at all. I can't even talk about it.
No, just these stones made me think of it. You know, I was under the strange impression they turned up and people didn't really know about them. There was a kind of mystery. I wouldn't be surprised if Masons, you know, they're stones, aren't they? Masons had to be involved.
Yeah.
The G factor. Did you see that other G that in psychology?
No, explain it.
Okay. I'm just going to find the post. It'll be easier to talk about it. And it's not far away. So in psychology, there's a G, and it was discovered by a military man turned psychology PhD student in experimental psychology, turned statistician and father of modern psychology, sorry, not very well worded, Charles Spearman. Now, he came up with a theory that disparate cognitive test scores reflect a single general intelligence factor, the G factor. Now, so, you know, and he's a statistician, really. When you look into him, he's a statistician, and he made it fixed. So he was kind of defining this intelligence. So he got a commodity, almost. He could put a number on it, and you could do the maths somehow. So he's quite lauded and known by some as the father of modern psychology. And, I just thought that was another G, you know. And there you can see the G with the square and compasses, the G in there, the Masonic G sort of thing we see. It's fascinating.
Is that similar to IQ, or am I off?
No, I think maybe. I mean, I haven't really got any general intelligence factor. He's known for coining this G factor. I mean, have it been superseded by IQ now? I don't know. But do you see what I mean? It's interesting.
I don't either.
Once you can put, it's a way of control, isn't it? Once you've got a G, you can then, it makes some sort of sense, I'm sure, but it was a statistician and he talked about, and he was a psychologist. All seemed a bit, you know, you're then mixing the sort of, I don't know what I'm getting at really, but it's just another G. Sorry.
G's everywhere.
I'll be listening to this, but I'll listen back to this later and I'll, and I'll cringe again. Oh no. I was sounding like an idiot. I was saying something about veal the other day and calling it venison or something like that.
I don't listen to these back, do you? Because there's too many other audios to listen to. I almost never listen to them back unless it's got a big section I know that I missed.
Depends.
There's too many other good audios out there.
Well, yeah, don't put yourself down. Yeah, but fair play. I mean, yeah, I'm going to listen to the...
Yeah, I don't want to listen to this again. I already heard it all because I'm here, right?
Sometimes it's nice to re-listen and digest it all and listen back to what we're saying. Yeah, think about things, but and listen to what other people are saying a bit. But yeah, no, you're right. Quite often, get on with it. Something else.
Yeah, I'm cool with for the most part.
It's always a good place to look up resources and hear of new, research or persons that are doing new research. So sometimes it's good for reference to go back and listen to the other chats, I feel.
No, I agree.
But as it is, a casual discussion, it's like it's always going to be a lot of time where it's just a gathering of like-minded people, too. So it's a little bit of social talk, too.
Oh yeah, it's coffee talk. It's good stuff. Bring your research here. Drop some links. I gave you a couple audios. You all can review them and listen to them. Did you guys look at that magic trick I posted with the water and how they use some kind of digital simulation of the shape of the water taking the shape of the glass and staying intact?
Yeah,
Captain Disillusionment. I know you saw it, Tom.
Yes, I saw that. I really found it uneasy with that guy. I made a comment, and there was a girl and a guy on there, but she had this kind of this horrible scar around her neck, as if she'd been hung by her neck or something. And then she was talking about introducing an illness into a third world nation and killing a load of young children or something. It was very odd.
Yeah.
I didn't know who this was quite aimed at. And then he showed us this. you know, disillusion as well. I thought, well, disillusion means disappointment, really, to me. You know, Captain Disappointment, he almost came across it. There was something I didn't like about it at all. And, yeah, I did see that. But the CGI, again, it's telling us how good it is. You look through that water and you see the reflection.
Yeah.
Brilliant. You know, brilliant. Yeah. Again, another example of how things can be done so clearly, being shown to us, you know, evidently, like Unreal was saying, they're getting us prepared for this real, fake, real that looks real. You know, he's telling us 31 million people saw it or something. Ludicrous, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I think perhaps conditioning us to see how genuine this footage is, so we can't question it almost. If we did, well, it could be fake, but it could not be. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm waffling again. Excuse me.
He has a lot of videos. He's kind of creepy, I realize, but... But he's just one of these Mythbuster types that tries to explain magic tricks. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but this James Randi was always like that, wasn't he? But he's absolutely the worst.
Yeah.
Because he's the absolute gatekeeper of, you know what I mean? Ultimately, he's...
Well, I suppose so, because he's got to work in the media. The media is the biggest point of all these psyops. Without the media, these psyops wouldn't go.
I mean, the military intelligence needs these big magicians, don't they? They use them. I mean, Carol posted something about that today. She was talking about magicians. Yeah. And yeah, they used them in the war. You know, they had these dummies and they camouflaged these all sorts of things and made up loads of fake guns and fake tanks and fake all sorts.
Yeah, I have to look at that. Yeah. Lots of comments at fakeologist.com. If you guys want to... You're just listening, go to the right side of the blog and just get all the recent comments. It's a good way of seeing what's going on. Or get the RSS feed for all the comments. That's even better. Well, I'm pretty much pulling into my driveway now. It was nice chatting with you guys, you fellow fakeologists around the world.
Likewise.
Yes. Cheers, Tim.
Yeah, keep it going.
Thanks.
Catch you later.
All right, take care.
Excuse me, my hands are just full for a moment.
That's okay.
Le histoire nous estudions à l'école est merde. Yes, my basic French that I studied at school.
You mostly have notions in French in England, I feel. It's something that's very common in English schools to have some French then.
Yes. Yes, from secondary school for at least 3 years. I think just about every child has classes. 2 years, maybe, at least.
Yeah, in Norway we don't have that much French. So, but it's a lot of words that resemble each other too in English and French. So,
sure, the Latin roots there. Lots of Asian, anything with Asian on the end is, same in both languages almost.
Oh, right.
Or something. So you're in Norway, and so you speak Norwegian as well.
Yeah, I'm actually living in France, so I grew up in Norway.
Excuse me. Yes, you're in your second language in France.
Exactly. So I'm not fluent neither in English nor French and nor Norwegian anymore. So. You know, language is something you can kind of lose if you don't live in a country for some time too. So it's like, it's a tool though to express your thoughts. So it does help to speak with about the subject that interests you with other like-minded people, because it's so easy to get in. Confrontational debates with regular people, because they have so much anger towards you once you question their worldview,
religion, belief system.
Yeah, it is. It is a very common reaction to reject any new idea that doesn't fit in with your current situation, in the sense that mostly people don't like change.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's just like people saying, look, come on, mate, this religion is bullshit. In the, 100 years ago or something, you know. We're not so very, very clever to realize that this scientism is bullshit. It'll just get outmoded, but won't it? Will it, something else will take its place? I don't know.
Well, it's that's an interesting question, because it's like mostly people don't realize, I guess, the belief system they actually live in. Like most people don't think of science and history as belief systems, but when you look at the proofs we have of it, it's very scarce, and it comes down to belief.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I suppose my analogy was, yeah, people were just used to be so convinced in the Bible and the fact of it, you know, like they're convinced in science now. It's belief. And they think it's fact. It's there. It's in the books. You know, it's in the history book. It's in the scientific books. All those people from all those years, all that stuff, everyone believing in it has to be real. I think that was the same with religion in times gone past. And now the people have got out of that, not completely, but they've moved us away to a more... A different thing. It's a new age, isn't it? A post-religion to a new kind of religion, a new belief system, scientific.
Yeah, just think about it. Books is a kind of religion too. It's like once it's in a book, people put more credence to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's in a book. It's exactly. On the television.
It's in a small footnote, you know. Number one, this book from this author, and you say it's well researched, you know. But the fact is that most books have been rewritten and edited to get released, and got released through big companies that are, managing scripts, and so it's like it's very improbable that we will find the truth in books as well.
Yeah, I mean, it gets to the point where so much that's promoted is, and so much of the stuff they're talking about is bullshit, that, there's very little in any sort of historical books or that we can really believe in. As far as I can tell. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe the question we should ask is, why should that be so important for us?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? But what really happened in the past to be able to shape what we are now. I mean,
but
I think it is naturally interesting.
If we can get to terms with the fact that we can't know what happened in the past.
Yeah, now that's now we know that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but the people that write the books for us, they might even not know what happened in the past, but they know that we don't know, so that gives them a good opportunity to create that story for us and have us live in a structure that is convenient for them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. They might not even know who they're not. In fact, of course they don't know all the questions, you know.
And how interesting is it for them to really know?
All the answers.
Other than to get inspirations for their stories that they are going to propagate and have us believe. I mean, it's not essential for them to be correct or have exact info on history at all.
No.
And I guess that their emphasis would be to be best at what is happening now. That's mostly what you can learn from philosophers too, about what it is to lead a meaningful life is to be in the present moment, you know?
Yeah, yeah, so true. Getting in the moment, it's true happiness, I believe, to be able to live in the moment. That's real freedom.
And slavery, so we can say that slavery is also to live in, you know, contrived past and contrived futures that mostly will not happen and mostly have not happened.
Do you think that the level of slavery is a lot less than is said to have happened? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not sure. I get. You mean if we are more enslaved now than before, or that?
Sorry, excuse me. Yeah, yeah, no. Excuse me. Forget it. You're in. Yeah.
No, but I just guess that it is a form of freedom that we doing now to openly ask questions about things that we are not supposed to ask any questions about.
Oh yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's a great freedom. It's fantastic. Free from, because as we know, the things that We're told all this bullshit for a reason, to disempower us. So every time these things unravel to me, it's empowering. It's a little bit more, you know, it's empowering for sure.
That's also why you could say that, you know, people that dig too deep into things, they are also slaves of what they have dug so deep into. And unfortunately, we all kind of put credence to these people that are like focusing on very narrow fields and that can't understand the whole, the globality of it.
Yeah, true. We give reverence, don't we? We appeal to that authority of the lone nutter.
Yeah, the expert,
like.
The researcher that goes so deep into a field, like they are also lost when they can't see anything anymore. You know, it's like at some point it's theories that they actually give life to through their credentials and through their the time spent studying a subject. You know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and how many genuine scientists are out there? Slaves to it in academia. Who totally, totally believe this stuff, and they're so invested in it, and they're so lost in it for years that they totally can't get out of it, and they're supporting the system with steadfastly, ardently, determinedly, and with great dedication. They don't realize it, but they are a system of corruption and load of bullshit.
Yeah, I think like as we talked about NASA earlier on, if you have people, you know, study things in minute detail, they are probably completely clueless about the big picture, and that's seems to be a common tactics to actually get support.
You're a specialist.
For, yeah.
Sorry, yeah, if you're a specialist, you're distracted.
You're probably pretty easy to handle, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you have to, the devil is in the details, I think, as the cliche goes. But we look at the details when we look at certain events and things, don't we? You have to really look at the details. But we want to free ourselves from being lost in these basic impressions of ourselves we have, of who we are, which defines us, our egos. Isn't it? We're getting our sense of ourselves is being freed here from these lies.
Yeah. At least we must remember not to be too sure about things. You know, once you get convinced, it's like it's also a belief. You know, when you are convinced of something.
Yes. Yes. I see that. I see myself doing it all the time, and it's a lesson I can learn every day. Another time. Good sense.
And it's very hard because, like, in alternative research, too, it's like when we spend too much time, we get tangled up in our own beliefs, too.
Sometimes you have to apply yourself to things, to work on things, to get things done, and you have to sort of keep on banging away at them. But I try and make them the things that are worth doing that with, you know, like writing a song or studying something to learn something. I'd still get... You know, you can learn what you don't know, but you can learn a bit more. And you can't. There are things to learn in this world that that we can say for sure to an extent. You know.
Yeah, it is, and it's important to know that we can learn by asking questions too. It's like we don't need to only have answers to feel like we learned something. You know.
Yes, and real science is your point. Really, we don't really know anything. Really, that's what science, real true science, surely that tells us, doesn't it? All right, there's things you can prove in a laboratory on a basic level, but what does it all mean in a way? Maybe who knows?
Yeah, it's science gets mixed into every field nearly now, so it's like it's a very good way to influence the storyline, you know.
Hey man, science is cool. You know, I mean, whatever things we make are great. You know, you get running water and heating and lighting and, you know, television. You know, if it was used properly, yeah. Well, you've got. I don't know. Is it good? Yes, I suppose it. I don't know. If you said we're living as hunter-gatherers, would we have a better life with a kind of more natural life, you know, without having to have been drawn into all these cities? And do you think that would be better and healthier?
Well, it's hard to tell. If you those who say they study, human health, they do find that we are not getting healthier. And in ancient times, hunter-gatherers seemed pretty healthy to them.
We're free-range cattle then. We're like free-range cattle now.
Yeah, we are more like specialized slaves in our different sectors, aren't we?
Yeah.
And we are completely... we are completely dependent on the system, you know. So it's like we have nearly no independence at all, really, when it comes down to our livelihood somehow.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm going to I'm going to take a. I need to take a break, get a drink again,
that's
make
cool.
a coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, good to talk. So yeah, if you want to carry, if you're still here, I'm coming back. I just need to make a drink and stuff. But yeah, no worries, whatever, man. Good
yeah,
to talk
so,
to you again.
Yeah, and keep looking into Stonehenge there in England.
Yeah, I'll try and give it a bit more thought. I started off on another line, and it's interesting. I'll try and find some time to do that and get into it. Yeah, and talk to you later, mate.
Yeah, that's cool.
Cheers, man. Cheers.
Talk to you. Bye.
Hi, this is Chris from HoaxBustersCall.com, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.